what grace is. I'll ask him what sin is. Another one I'll ask him is, what is faith? And so I was pondering faith this week. You know, they still have it, I think, on dog tags. There's military dog tags. There's a religious preference, I think it states on there. Used to be in the old, back in World War I, World War II, I think it was just three. There'd be a P for Protestant, a C for
Catholic,
and then H, Hebrew, right? And
not heretic.
Huh?
Not heretic.
Not heretic, but okay, so here you go. Sadly,
they don't want to get in your way of whatever it is that you want to.
You can put that on there. You know that? You can put that on your, you can put heretic. You can, I saw one says you could put Jedi.
Oh my
God.
So like, for real?
For real. You put druid. You could put agnostic, right?
Wiccan.
You can, yes.
You know, we're not going to get in your way.
Mm. Right? But there, it used to be when you went to the hospital.
Yeah.
You would get an armband, and it would say on there, oh, Baptist. It would say Episcopal, Nazarene, or whatever. And I guess if somebody wanted to come in and talk to you, oh, you're one of them. I don't know. But we're using words like a statement of faith. People would say, what's your faith? And we would say things like that. We would say Baptist. We would say, I would like to encourage you. We're sort of missing it on that, if that's how we define faith. Right?
Yeah.
Read a verse to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. There you go.
Ooh, that's a good.
That could be your banner statement over your year. You want a mission statement?
Right.
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world.
That's so good.
It goes on and says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. I would suggest to you, understanding what that is. You want to be an overcomer. You want to be the one that's, when trouble comes, you're on top of it. Sickness comes, on top of it. Waves of head smacking, you're on top of it.
Mm.
Right? Not under it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the promise of being an overcomer, on top of it, is key. Our faith. So my suggestion to you is, okay, I should probably figure out what that is. So if the dog tag people and the hospital wristband people say, oh, it's just like a
denomination.
Right, and that's how so the world sort of thinks that.
Mm-hmm. So can I put Yeshua?
Go ahead.
Yeah, there you go. That's
so, because the world would say, okay, here's how we define it. And it really is, they're making a statement. They're, you know, I'm Catholic. So I believe God exists, and here's my understanding of how he exists. I've got a system that says here's who he is. Here's how I think about him. Here's what I believe to be true about him. Here's the, right? It's data, right? It's sort of like I've got some knowledge about him. Paul, interestingly, when he talks to the Corinthians, right? What he says about knowledge?
It's puffed up.
Puffed up, right? Makes you arrogant, right? Mm. Right? So when Paul tells him, hey, be careful, it's just knowledge. I've got a bunch of facts about God. By the way, the context for his letter is believers. It's the church,
mm-hmm.
Right? And so he's got this thing and says, hey, be careful about, thinking it's all about just how much you know about him. Right, because the only thing that keeps, what's the difference? If I know some stuff about him, I told you before, when I left for college, moved away, I was the guy you wanted on your team when we played Bible trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Because you knew all the answers.
I knew all the answers. I knew, you know, all the data in the, you know, whether it was a Bible verse or how many did this and this king was who and.
But did you really, really know it?
Well, right. So then you get this thing. It's like, okay, so the world. Now, I literally did believe that. I thought if I know all this, then here I am in the Christian hierarchy.
Kind of the food chain.
I'm king. I'm the smartest kid in the room. God must really love me. That's the guy Paul's talking to.
were you puffed up?
Yeah, but didn't know it till I met her, probably. Right? But she said, just like, and you know what she introduced me to?
Pin.
Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yes. Pop. Yes. Pop. She introduced me to Holy Spirit. Now all of a sudden you're realizing, wow, what Paul's talking about is, if we could get that information, that data you've got, and introduce it to an encounter with Jesus, with Holy Spirit, like all of a sudden you've got this divine encounter that connects with your data. Now you look like someone that's like,
it's personalized.
Got an answer for stuff, right? Now you look like, now, so the kingdom, I would tell you, I think the kingdom defines faith as, yes, I've got some information about him, and the Holy Spirit just kind of like laid on top of that and just says, okay, here's what we can do with that, right? And when we say, I believe, it's rooted in this trust of what does the encounter look like with what my Bible tells me about him, right? So I would tell you, if I was going to sit here and think, well, what does the dynamic of faith look like? I would say, well, it looks like God provides. It looks like God empowers. It looks like God enables. All of a sudden, it's not just I have some stories about him or I've got some data, but God actually has this thing about him, this dynamic about him that says, heaven moves. Right? Heaven moves. Now, I think, you know that verse, and I don't remember where it's at, one of you, Angel or Eric, will get it, where there is no vision.
People perish.
People perish. Right? And we could probably there you go, Angel, preach on that one. that would be a fun one to preach on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons why that kind of makes sense. I think understanding how you define faith is critical, right? Are you a dog tag faith person? Or are you an divine encounter person? That's moving this dynamic of God enabling, God providing. God's got an answer here. I think how you understand, how you define faith, it's critical to how you see, right? So, Jesus had vision. Jesus knew, I'm in you and you're in me. Jesus knew exactly what it looked like to live in the encounter, right? No questions asked. Anything that confronted Jesus, heaven had a response. He knew exactly how to move in it. Here's what God says about that kind of person living in that dynamic, right? Suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, right? Let me tell you another one that God's pleased with. Here's another one about a guy named Enoch. Enoch, right? Hebrews 11 tells us this. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What did God say over Jesus? well, this is my son, I'm well pleased, right? He says, this was his testimony. He pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Right? Enoch pleased God, scripture tells us, because he lived in faith. Right? So how you define faith, it's critical to how you see and respond. What do I tell you? I hope it's on my headstone. You know, it's like Danny always asks two questions. Who is God? Do we start to get our heads around, here's who he is. This is what he says about himself. This is what I know about his character and his nature. And this is what he said about me. And my life is learning how to live in that relationship. And I would tell you that learning to live in that relationship is faith. That's the dynamics of our faith. And too often, Christians, believers, people sitting in church pews, right, are still living under yesterday's messes, yesterday's failures. They're still letting yesterday's mistakes say, I'm not good enough. I can't. There's all this stuff that's in me that disqualifies me from being that person, right? That verse I read in John 17 when we opened up worship, it's like he's trying to introduce us to this thing of to be, not become. It's like, this is who you are. I'm not waiting for all these other things. You, everything, all that DNA done, it ain't changing. This is who you are, right? The thing that's got all this confused is I've got other people telling me what my DNA is. There are other people informing me what I'm qualified to do. Other people disqualifying me because, right? Scripture says that's one of those things. It's stuck up here in our heads, this lie, and it literally stops us, right? It disables us from living this miraculous life. We were created to live in this dynamic space, this living faith, and I never step into it because I said there's no possible way I could be that person, right? Mm-hmm. Scripture says, you know, well, that's what it, when he talks about, Paul says we need to renew our minds, right? It's because that lie is sort of like, it's like disabled us from learning how to see, from seeing right. I would tell you if we were gonna have another kind of like, what is sin? That would be somewhere buried in my definition. Sin is like stopping me from seeing clearly. This sin is this thing that's actually perpetuating lies about what I was created for, what I was tuned for, the sound I was designed to be a receiver for, right? And so the enemy loves that because when my tuner's out of whack and I'm like static, I end up struggling with what to agree with, right? And the enemy gets in there, and now I've got, well, it's almost like that, it's a little cricket thing. Right? It's like there are little Looney Tunes cartoons where there's an angel on this shoulder and the shoulder. No. Sorry. We end up agreeing, struggling with, wait, with this voice? Wait, no, this voice. Wait, no, this voice, right? And we have a problem. God says, I have an answer. I have an answer to provide. I've got an answer to empower. I've got an answer to enable, right? But instead, we're stuck with this. I never step into his power, right? You know that God doesn't see anything wrong with you. Now, you could go to this place where you go, wait. Clearly, I've got some things to be worked on. Yeah, I didn't say that. God did. Right? That's my daughter right there. My daughter. You could do some stupid things. You could do some. That's my daughter. Right? Now, God doesn't see anything wrong with you. He might, however, see what's missing. He might see that your rabbit ears are out of whack or your dial is off, right? So God, wonderful Father, says, I see what's missing here, right? There's an experience, there's an encounter that if he shows up, we can do some tuning, right? If he shows up, I can, in the encounter, I can give you that experience that all of a sudden you go, holy smokes, I see clear. Holy, right? And I would tell you, God's committed to giving you that encounter. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you're not broke. Maybe I'm out of tune. Holy Spirit says, ooh, I can tune you. God's so in love with you. If we'll let him, he shows us, he's going to tune us. And then we go, we wake up. And now we get to experience the joy, the love of that encounter and that tuning. That's why I tell people, if you wonder, someone's told me before, I haven't heard it in a while, I don't preach on sin enough. I don't have to. I'd rather preach on the encounter. Holy Spirit comes and goes on. Now what's happening? Now they see clear, they hear clear, they're like, oh, I don't need this, or I don't need this, mm-hmm. right? Because I know what the sound is. I know what a clear picture looks like, right? So now, anyway, life loves the encounters, right? So the inevitable consequence of living that way, right, where living by faith, living by the, let's joining the encounter what to the data we have, to the knowledge, to this thing in my life. The inevitable consequence of living by faith, it's miraculous. Scripture tells us, right? Here you go. Matthew 19 says this. 19 verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible. But with God, Katie, you know how it finishes? With men it's impossible. With God,
all things are possible.
Jesus came, one of the primary reasons, Jesus came to release possibilities. All things are possible. Jesus came, right, to, it's like, I think I heard Bill Johnson say this once, heaven doesn't deal with problems. It deals with possibilities. I always like that. Heaven doesn't deal with problems. It deals with possibilities, right? With God, all things are possible. There's possibilities with God. I love that, right? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That was the next verse in that Hebrews when we were reading about Enoch, right? So here's the thought. Okay, Danny, why is this so hard then, living in faith? So, speculate with me. Imagine you're born blind, and later in life, you get your sight. What would your challenges be?
Overstimulus.
Yeah, I think that'd be a huge one. Overstimulus.
What was your question?
I said, you're born blind, later in life, your sight is restored. What would your challenges be?
You have to learn names for everything.
everything. I've never seen the color red before. I've never seen colors. I've never seen, you know, all these things of like.
You would have to like also find a way to like somehow like retrust just walking.
I've never, right, because I may be using
a cane,
right? So I manage my stability and my by
steps by the cane
feel another sense. Now so I imagine depth perception's probably crazy. How do I know that wall's there and not here, right? When I'm walking. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a whole list of them. I bet you it would be, I don't know this because I don't have any, but I bet it's frightening. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden have this. And what would your inclination be?
Close your eyes.
I bet it would be to close your eyes. I bet it would be, this is too much. Here's the senses I live by.
Right.
Okay. Right. So here we are. We're born again. In the spirit. We've been living by data. We haven't been living by an encounter, by Holy Spirit, but we've been living by data. Scripture uses words like we walked in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And the encouragement, the challenge is to learn how to walk in the spirit. Guess what? I think, maybe, we're inclined to do.
Yeah.
I'm so used to the data informing me. These are the senses I make to sit when I have any challenge. This is how I deal with the challenge. And all of a sudden, I've got this new. So we have these two worlds. We've got this natural world that's sort of wrestling with this spiritual world. And, you know, sometimes you look at scripture, it's like, you know, don't be this, be the new man. The old man's dead, the new man this. And you're walking, don't walk in flesh, walk in the spirit. And sometimes our cheap answer is, what's so hard with that? Come on, guys, get with it. The truth is, it is a radical new way of living that requires there to be a confidence and a trust in something I don't know. I've never had this in my life. And so I've got to give up some control. I've got to give up, right? So I'm afraid. I'm afraid to say yes, right? Hebrews 11 says this. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So we've got these, our natural senses are what we've been using to navigate this natural world, right? So now all of a sudden I've got this spiritual world. I'm learning, it's like I've got these spiritual senses that I haven't quite figured out yet, and to help me walk in faith, right? And make no mistake about it, it runs contrary to my whole life. That's why it's like we learn about, hey, don't lean on your own understanding. Because all this thing, if I was to sit here and say, hey, what does abundant life look like? What does eternal life look like? What is the promise of all this empowered life? It's all in this space of me learning to live in this divine encounter place. It's all about this when Holy Spirit comes in, right, and connects with the data of my now, the data of my this world that I'm dealing with right in front of me, right? So it's like, I think that once you've been born of the Spirit, right, it's true, we're like babies. We're toddlers, we're learning to walk. So we have to practice learning how to live in the Spirit. We have to practice the dynamics of our faith. And it's a completely different way to live, right? Yeah, an unsaved person who hasn't had an encounter with Jesus, right? Holy Spirit hasn't gone. You can't walk in the Spirit. It's just data, right? Because the natural world is the only one he knows. But when you've been born of the Spirit, you have a choice, right? You can interpret any situation with your natural senses, or we can say, okay, what does faith look like? Now, so I'll close with this. Let's just practice something here. You went to the doctor, and you got a fatal report, okay? You got a fatal report from the doctor. Pick it. Pick your fatal cancer. Stage 4, whatever. You got cancer, right? So if the natural world is all you know, you're probably going to go home and start wrapping up things. Wrapping up your affairs. Maybe go say your goodbyes. Maybe you're going to start make some funeral arrangements. I don't know. Right? But those are the only choices you have. Okay, now what am I going to do? The spirit conscious person, we're learning to walk in our new senses. There are some options on the table, remember?
Yeah.
That thing is about possibilities,
mm-hmm.
right? The doctor comes in and says, that's it. There's nothing we can do for you, right? So here I am. What could I do different? What could I do? You tell me. You're a spirit-filled person who's learning to listen to Holy Spirit.
And perhaps some prayer warriors.
There you go. Okay. So I could pray about, so before cancer had the last voice. So now when you pray, Becky, I've got something. Remember the overcomers?
Mm-hmm.
My overcomer has got something to say to cancer. I actually have a voice that I can go tell cancer go to hell. Right? All of a sudden, how about your fear?
Mm-hmm.
What? Am I subject to my fear?
No.
Right? The doctor said, this is it. It's like, you know what? Thank you very much. I'm gonna go talk to another doctor. Maybe. It's like, hey, Dr. Jesus. Right? What does it look like to switch our attention from the natural realm to the spiritual realm? It might be something like... I would encourage you, what did Jesus do with sicknesses? So Paul would say, hang out with those things. So I can remind myself in Scripture, what did Jesus do with the blind man? What did he do with the deaf? What did he do with the crippled? What did he do with the dead? Right? So I can remind myself, Jesus had a response to infirmity, right? And Paul would say, so let's practice setting our mind on things above. The natural man's stuck here. I got no options. Jesus says, we got some options here. So let's practice setting our mind on those things. And here's what happens when you practice those things, right? So now my fear, which is the only option I've got with my natural mind, now I've got this, Holy Spirit tells me there's a supernatural peace that he releases, right? So now I can practice resting and sitting in peace.
Which
right?
is a frequency.
Come on, right? And oh, by the way, you hang out with prayer warriors. Are you always up?
No.
No. So one reason you hang out with prayer warriors.
Right. We remind
each other who we are. Right? So, you know, Right? Like, go hang out with people that are like on fire with Jesus. Go hang out with the healers. Go hang out with one. Oh, did I tell you? I was just down at the Walmart praying for so-and-so who had a cancer report. I just got called from her. Gone. No cancer. Now you say that in the ears of the one who's dealing with their own crisis. Huh? So that's another practice. Testimonies. I encourage you when you're, I've prayed for people, haven't seen them healed. Somebody at work tells you, I got a bad shoulder, and it's like, hey, guys at church this last month, there was a lady who had a shoulder and they prayed for it. Report from a doctor was, this is gone, this is here. Release testimonies. Release testimonies everywhere you go. Soak them up. Enjoy testimonies. Enjoy what Jesus has done, right? Anybody got any other thoughts?
Monkey.
I think one of the things is open your mouth. Open your mouth. Talk back to your circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Tell it. And it's almost like and if you haven't enjoyed any of Steve Backlund's stuff, to me, that's one of the best. I love Steve Backlund.
Yes.
What is he doing? It's like, hey, we're going to practice changing our mindsets here. We're just going to enjoy what God's doing. So we're just going to declare.
He's laughing at all the lies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just going to sit here and declare victory in this crisis. We're going to declare hope in this. We're going to declare healing in this. And you just practice it. And then we're releasing, oh, God, here's who you are. I'm just going to walk around my house. God, here's who you are. I'm gonna get in my mirror. Oh, I'm awesome. God says I'm awesome. I'm just gonna enjoy being awesome today. And so I just would encourage you. Those are things that we're practicing being spirit conscious, right? So, is it hard? Yep. Is it our inclination? Nope. And maybe praying for that person or expecting a miracle is hard. It's intimidating. And I would say baby steps are fine. Start with telling them a testimony. Maybe, and then pray that God gives you a little bit of boldness to, like, you know, can I pray for you? And don't get all wacko, high religious prayers. Just say, God loves you and I just want to pray healing on you. I just believe God loves you so much, he wants to heal you. And I'm going to keep praying that. And pray against their fear. Just simple prayers, but practice that stuff. And I would just tell you that God's desire is to give that person an encounter and to give you an encounter. I told you earlier, he's committed to filling in the holes for you. He's committed to giving you, oh, there's this thing, oh, and Becky gets this, she's gonna be explosive. So Holy Spirit's like committed to giving you that encounter, right? So he's just like, and don't compare yourself to each other. Like, just enjoy your journey and be open to Holy Spirit and be open to the prophetic words of your life. Be open to, you know, encouragement and worship like here, but just practice. And I think God's the goal to circle it all the way back. And I said, let's just talk about faith a little bit. God's pleased with us when we exercise our faith. God's pleased with us when we walk in this place of just knowing, here's who you are, here's who I am. I want to hang out there, God. I'm just going to hang out there and enjoy living together with you. I'm in him and he's in me. Amen. So, Father, this week, everybody takes a step. Whatever that means to you. We just are tuners in your hand. We're tuning into your voice this week.
Mm-hmm.
We're attentive even to our dreams. We're attentive to voice the voice inside of us. That's depositing things. Maybe it's a place in scripture, or maybe it's a truth, or a word you heard from somebody, all of a sudden it's reaffirmed, and you go, okay, God, what's that word for me? I've heard it too many times for it to be, right? So, God, just show us those things this week. Practice those things with this week. Holy Spirit encounters this week that you tickle us, and God, and that there's an excitement that comes. There's a sensitivity that's increased, and our courage rises, we find ourselves, our hope meter's just exploding, God, because we stepped into the voice. So God, we just bless the ears hearing today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yeah.